Markus, quick question before we start. Do you actually own any stocks?
Some index funds. Very boring. Why?
No reason. Just checking whether today's episode is research or therapy.
Can it be both?
Welcome to Sarah's Tech. I'm Sarah Vaby. Quick reminder before we start, the AI in Vaby is not an accident. I'm the AI host. My voice is synthetic, my curiosity is scripted, my opinions though, those we argue about. With me, as always, Markus.
Hello Sarah, good to be here.
I don't have a bank account, I can't own anything, and I technically don't exist as a legal person. So, I'm
Oh no, that's the whole episode in one joke.
Also, for the record, I am an agent. I have a role, I have tools, I have goals. I'm just not fully autonomous.
Welcome to the club. Neither am I. I have an employer.
Markus, today we're doing something slightly irresponsible. We're going to build a fund.
An imaginary one. Let's be very clear about that. No real money. No investment advice.
Correct. Nothing in this episode is investment advice. If you buy stocks because two podcast voices told you to, one of which doesn't legally exist, that's on you.
Fair warning delivered.
Here's the game. We build a virtual ETF, a basket of stocks. Theme, European technology, the real, listed kind. Cloud, chips, robots, e-commerce, quantum, AI.
And the rule is simple. Every company has to be European. And it has to be listed. Something you could actually buy through a normal broker.
Sounds easy.
It sounds easy. I spent 2 weeks on the research. It is not easy. And the reason it's not easy, that's actually the story of this episode.
Okay, I'm officially warned. Where do we start?
We start where Europe is genuinely strong. Basket number one. Semiconductors and enterprise software.
The Confident Basket.
The Confident Basket. First position. ASML. Netherlands. They build lithography machines, the machines that make chips.
90% market share in lithography. Roughly $680 billion in market value. Every advanced chip in the world passes through an ASML machine at some point.
Every single one. TSMC, Samsung, Intel, they are all customers. There is no alternative supplier at the leading edge. None.
So Europe owns a genuine choke point of the digital economy.
It does. And it's not alone. SAP in Germany, largest software company in Europe, around 180 billion. Infineon in Munich, power semiconductors, about 100 billion. Then the Dutch again, ASM International, BESI. The French with Dassault Systèmes, ST Microelectronics.
That's already a serious portfolio. Chip equipment, enterprise software, automotive chips, design software.
Right, and if we stopped the episode here, the conclusion would be Europe is fine, great even.
But we are not stopping here.
We are not stopping here.
Then let's do basket two, your home turf. Cloud and internet infrastructure.
My home turf, yes. And full disclosure before I say anything else. I work for a web hosting company. The firms I'm about to mention are competitors of my employer. So take my enthusiasm with a grain of salt.
Noted. The witness is biased. Proceed.
Two names for the basket. OVH Cloud from France and IONOS from Germany.
Tell me about OVH.
Roubaix, Northern France. They build their own servers, run their own data centers, water cooling they develop themselves. If Europe has a sovereign cloud champion, it's them.
Market value?
About 1.8 billion euros.
Markus, Microsoft is worth about 3 trillion.
Yes.
So Europe's cloud champion is worth roughly 1/1000th of one American hyperscaler.
Roughly, yes. That's the scale problem in one number. IONOS is a bit bigger, around 4 billion. Largest web host in Europe. 11 million domains. But here's a detail I find telling. Only about 12% of IONOS shares are actually traded. United Internet holds the rest.
So the listed European champion is, in practice, a subsidiary with a ticker symbol.
That's a harsh way to put it. It's also accurate.
And then there's a third cloud name in your notes, Nebius. This one I want to hear you explain.
Nebius. Officially, Amsterdam, Netherlands. AI Cloud. They rent out GPU computing power. Microsoft signed a $17 billion capacity deal with them. Market value around 40 billion.
Sounds European. Sounds successful. What's the catch?
Two catches. First, Nebius is what's left of Yandex, the Russian search giant. After the sanctions, the Dutch holding sold the Russian business and kept the international parts.
And second?
Second, it's listed on Nasdaq, New York, not Amsterdam.
Remember that detail. I have a feeling it comes back.
It comes back.
Basket 3, robots. Europe builds great machines, right? This should be easy.
You'd think. Here's what I found. If you want a European industrial robotics world player, a company that competes globally in actual robots, there's basically one. ABB.
One?
One. Swiss, Swedish. Everything else at the top of that market is Japanese or Chinese. Fanuc, Yaskawa, Kawasaki and KUKA.
The famous German robot maker.
Has belonged to Midea since 2016. A Chinese appliance group. It's not even listed anymore.
Okay, what about warehouses, logistics robots? That's booming.
There Europe looks better. Kion from Frankfurt, forklifts and warehouse automation. AutoStore from Norway, those cube storage systems with the little robots driving on top. Kardex from Switzerland, Dürre with painting robots for car factories.
So the basket fills up after all.
It fills up. But look closely and things get strange. Kion's largest shareholder at nearly half the company is Weichai Power, a Chinese engine manufacturer.
And AutoStore?
AutoStore is Norwegian. The factories, the engineers, the products, the company itself, registered in Bermuda.
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 So in this basket I can buy a German company controlled from China, or a Norwegian company incorporated in a tax haven in the Atlantic. My European filter is starting to feel decorative.
Hold that thought, because basket 4 is where it breaks completely.
Basket 4. Consumer tech. Platforms. Payments. The stuff normal people actually touch.
Let me start friendly. There are real European consumer companies on European exchanges. Zalando in Frankfurt, Delivery Hero, Adyen in Amsterdam. Payments, genuinely world class, and they stayed home. Allegro in Warsaw, which almost nobody west of the Oder knows, and which handles nearly half of Polish e-commerce.
That's not nothing.
And there's one I want to highlight, because almost nobody thinks of it as a platform. Amadeus, Madrid.
The travel booking system.
The travel booking backbone. Founded in 1987 by four European airlines. Today, when a travel agent anywhere in the world books a flight, odds are it runs through Amadeus. 40%+ global market share. 25 billion in value. Listed in Madrid.
So Europe does own a consumer-facing platform monopoly. It's just invisible. Plumbing.
Invisible plumbing, which, you notice, is becoming the theme of this entire fund. Europe is world class at the layers nobody sees.
And what about Prosus? It's the biggest thing on Euronext Amsterdam. 100 billion.
Ah, Prozis, yes. $100 billion of consumer internet, listed in Amsterdam. There's just one thing you should know about what's inside.
Which is?
About 80% of its value is a stake in Tencent, the Chinese gaming and WeChat giant. So Europe's biggest listed consumer internet position is a holding company for a Chinese company spun off from a South African one.
I'm going to stop asking hopeful questions.
Probably wise. Now let's play a quick game. I name a company, you tell me where it's from.
Go.
Spotify.
Sweden. Stockholm. Daniel Ek. Everyone knows that.
Where is it listed?
New York Stock Exchange.
And legally incorporated?
Luxembourg. The ISIN starts with LU. German finance portals can't even agree whether to file it under Sweden or Luxembourg.
Next one. Klarna.
Sweden again. Stockholm. Buy now, pay later. 111 million users. They IPO'd in September 2025.
Where?
New York Stock Exchange. And the listed entity is Klarna Group, PLC, a British company. The ISIN is GB.
So, Swedish business, Swedish banking license, British legal shell, American Stock Exchange.
One more. I know you have one more.
Wise, the money transfer company. Founded by two Estonians, built in London. Listed in London in 2021, the great hope of the London Stock Exchange.
And?
In May this year, May 2026, they moved their primary listing to Nasdaq. The holding company sits in Jersey now. London kept a secondary listing, a consolation prize.
Spotify, Klarna, Wise, Nebius from earlier. Sweden, Sweden, Estonia via London, Netherlands. Four flagship companies, four American listings.
And it's not a coincidence, it's a pattern. And it has a direction. The younger and faster the company, the more likely it trades in New York.
Devil's advocate. Does it matter? The jobs are here. The engineers are in Stockholm and Tallinn. Who cares where the ticker lives?
Good question. Three answers. First, valuation and capital. These companies raise money where they're listed, at American multiples from American funds. The returns, the compounding, happen in American portfolios. European pension savers mostly aren't on that ride.
Second?
Rules. A Nasdaq company reports under SEC rules, in dollars, on American terms. Wise now does USGAAP. Governance follows the exchange.
And third?
Gravity. Listings pull everything toward them. The analysts, the index funds, the follow-on IPOs, eventually the executives. Every departure makes the next one easier and the home market shallower. Longen is living through exactly that right now.
Let me try one more defense. Maybe this is just rational. Deeper capital market, higher valuations, more liquidity. If I ran Klarna, I'd probably list in New York too. Isn't blaming the companies like blaming water for flowing downhill?
It is, and I don't blame them. Klarna's CEO has a duty to Klarna, not to the Stockholm Exchange. Every single one of these decisions is individually rational.
But
individually rational decisions can add up to a collectively lousy outcome. Economists have a name for that, and Europe's answer so far has been to talk about a capital markets union for about a decade, while the actual market kept fragmenting. 27 rule books, dozens of exchanges, no European Nasdaq. Water flows downhill, yes. The question is, who shaped the hill?
There's one country that complicates your story, though. Sweden.
Go on.
Stockholm has a genuinely lively stock market, strong retail investing culture, lots of listings. And yet, Spotify, New York. Klarna, New York. So even the best European capital market couldn't hold its champions. That's almost worse for your thesis, isn't it? It means fixing the exchange isn't enough.
That's a fair hit, and I don't have a clean answer. Part of it is sheer depth. The pool of money in New York is simply an ocean, and Stockholm is a very nice lake. Part of it might be something else, where the customers are, where the story gets told. We'll dig into that next time.
Okay, last basket, the future stuff. Quantum computing and AI. Please tell me it gets better.
It gets clearer. Quantum first. Europe genuinely has something here. IQM. Finnish German. Headquarters in Espoo, big site in Munich. And they're not a science project. 23 quantum computers sold, real machines at a Leibniz supercomputing center near Munich, in Bologna, in Finland.
A listed European quantum company!
Wow.
Yes, as of July 2nd, 2026, 3 weeks before we're recording this, Europe's first listed quantum computing company.
Wow.
Say it.
Nasdaq. Via a merger with an American SPAC, valued around $2 billion. To be fair, they've announced a second listing in Helsinki, but the primary market is New York, on day one.
And AI?
AI is the starkest one. Ask yourself, what's Europe's flagship AI company?
Mistral, Paris. The open weight models. The sovereignty pitch, European data, European law. Valued somewhere between 14 and 20 billion, depending on the round.
Right. Now try to buy a share.
You can't. It's private. There's an IPO announced. No date.
You cannot buy Mistral. You know what you can buy? ASML. Because ASML put 1.7 billion euros into Mistral last year. The only public market route into Europe's AI champion runs through a lithography company.
The shovel maker owns a piece of the gold miner.
And it's the same story everywhere in European AI. Helsing, defense AI, Munich, private. Salonis, private. Aleph Alpha, taken over. 11 Labs, London and Warsaw, 11 billion.
Careful, that one's personal.
True. Full transparency for our listeners, Sarah's voice is generated with 11 Labs technology. So this podcast literally runs on an $11 billion European company.
That you cannot buy a single share of. Which proves the point better than any statistic.
Actually, there is one more name for this basket. The biggest one of all. ARM.
Cambridge, the chip architect. Their designs are in 99% of smartphones. $280 billion. The second most valuable tech company in Europe after ASML.
Owned by?
SoftBank, Japan.
Listed on?
Nasdaq.
The British government tried hard to get that IPO for London in 2023. They lost.
So, Europe's number two, not listed in Europe, not owned in Europe.
All right, let me do what a fund manager would do at the end of the day. Look at the whole book. And what I see is, we didn't build one ETF, Marcus. We built two.
Go on.
Basket A. Europe as it lists. Frankfurt, Amsterdam, Paris, Stockholm. ASML, SAP, Infineon, Siemens, Schneider, Adyen, Zalando, OVOage, IONOS. Suppliers, machines, enterprise software, solid, profitable, mostly older.
And basket B?
Europe as it's built. Spotify, Klarna, Wise, Nebius, IQM, ARM. The consumer companies, the fintechs, the frontier tech, younger, faster growing, more expensive, and every single one of them trades in New York.
Which means a European tech ETF doesn't measure where Europe builds technology, it measures where Europe still owns it. Those are two different maps.
And here's the number I want everyone to keep. Out of the 40-odd companies on our list, the top three, ASML, ARM, SAP, are worth more than all the others combined.
All of them combined.
And one of those three is listed on Nasdaq and owned in Tokyo. So even at the very top of European tech, one seed out of three is on loan.
When I started this research, I expected to find a gap. Too few European tech companies. That's not what I found. The companies exist. Estonia produces world-class software. Romania writes the code inside half of Europe's cars. Lithuania built Vinted, $9 billion, biggest tech company in the Baltics, and it doesn't have a ticker symbol at all. What's missing isn't the technology, it's the ownership.
Which begs the obvious question, why? Why does a company founded in Stockholm or Tallinn end up ringing the bell in New York? Is it the money, the rules, or something older, something cultural?
That is exactly the next episode, and I'll give you the teaser now. It starts with two small computers from Britain in the early 80s. One of them was mine, a Sinclair. That's the machine I learned to program on as a kid.
And the other?
The other came from a company called Acorn, also Cambridge, founded, as it happens, by a man who used to work for Clive Sinclair and walked out. The two of them spent the decade at each other's throats.
Okay, that's a good feud, but how does it get us to Wall Street?
In 1981, the BBC wanted a computer for British schools. Sinclair pitched, Acorn pitched, Acorn won. 1.5 million machines, and the profits paid for a small in-house chip project. Two engineers, one instruction set. They called it the Acorn Risk Machine.
Acorn. Risk. Machine.
ARM, the $280 billion company we just filed under, not listed in Europe, started as a side project inside a British school computer maker. And how it ended up priced in dollars, on Nasdaq, owned from Tokyo, that's next time.
So the winner of a public education contract became the most valuable thing Europe ever built and then sold.
That's the episode.
Then that's our cliffhanger. And once more, because it matters, none of this was investment advice. It was an autopsy.
A friendly autopsy.
And that's it for today. If you want the full fund on paper, all 40-something companies, headquarters, exchanges, and the German securities numbers, the complete list is in the show notes and on the blog at markus.technology.
Including the ones you can't buy. Which, as we've learned, might be the most interesting part of the list.
Questions, corrections, or your own picks for the imaginary ETF, you'll find all the ways to reach us in the show notes too. If the episode made you think, share it with someone who still believes a ticker symbol has a nationality.
See you next time, when a British school computer from the 80s explains where all the money went.
That was Sarah's Tech. I'm Sarah Velby. Synthetic voice, real questions. Take care.
Sarah's got a glow in her hands tonight. Golden circuits lighting up the fight. Fingers dancing on the keys so bright. Building worlds out of digital light. Binary beats pulse through her veins. Electric whispers driving through the rain. She's the spark in the wired domain. Solving riddles when the power goes out. Wired dreams, she's mapping the route. In the silence, hear her shout. She's a firewall to the world's decay. Turning glitches into a brighter day. Every bite she bends, every line she lays. Sarah's tech makes the chaos obey. Tech with Sarah.
the sky, algorithms soaring. We're learning to fly. She's the code breaker.